So we are continuing the series this month in the foundations of our faith. And we'll be looking once again at 1 John, and this time we're going from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you remember that as John is writing this, that he's basically giving us what the foundations of our faith are regarding the idea of having a relationship with Jesus. That the whole purpose is to actually have a relationship with Jesus. That's what Christianity is about. And sometimes we forget that, because sometimes we get so caught up in theology, and sometimes we get so caught up in belief systems, that we forget that Christianity is all about a person. Because if you look at what John is writing here, he's writing about a person, and it is a person of Jesus Christ that he's writing about. And one of the things that he points to light and darkness, and darkness focuses on the idea of what we do.
Why is it so dark in here?
It focuses on behavior.
I can't even see anything. It's so dark. It's like
light and darkness is all about behavior.
It's like really, someone must have, is it nighttime? I'm so sorry there. it's gotta
Alan,
be around here.
I'm sorry, Alan. I'm trying to.
I can hardly see you.
Do the message. Okay, you don't need to see me. You can just hear me. How's that? Does that sound, that sound good enough?
Sorry.
So, can I help you?
It's so dark in here. How is a person supposed to see? Oh my goodness, you look older. And I just don't understand how you can do anything.
Well, did you try anything to stop this darkness? Did you try anything at all?
I don't know. It's just like I take my vitamins. I am getting older, so that might be a part of the...
Okay, just stay right there for a moment. You're okay. You don't need to come any further. You're fine. Okay, how about this? Okay, did you try to open up your eyes wider at all? Does that help?
I don't do it when I'm looking in a mirror, because that's scary.
Okay. All right, well, I'm sure you've tried this. It must not have worked. I'm sure you tried taking the glasses off.
Glasses? Oh, my word. Who got these glasses? Those are crazy. I see what you mean. Wow. Much brighter.
Yeah.
You even look brighter.
thank you. You know, throughout this month of October, you've been the investigative reporter, and we've all appreciated him as being the investigative reporter. Right?
Stop.
So, and you've been asking me questions, so how about I go ahead and ask you questions?
Like ask Pastor Allen.
Yes, ask Pastor Allen.
That
sounds good. So can you tell me a little bit about how did you feel when you were walking in here like that and you weren't able to see completely like you normally do?
Well, it was a little scary. I guess part of it was that I didn't realize just how blind I was, because technically I could see a little bit, considering that I can see on a worldly level, but now that I took those off, I can see things on a much brighter spiritual level. I realize now that, Jesus is our foundation, as you've been telling us, mm-hmm. and I know now that we can't do anything apart from him, but we can do all things through him, And I think now that my eyes are totally open, I can see that Jesus is the basis of our belief.
Okay, very good. Wow. Hey, you're dismissed, folks. The sermon's over. No, good job. Do you need any help going down?
Only when I'm playing the keyboard. That's when I have trouble.
Okay.
I'm going to go out this
way. I'm concerned. Where are you going? It's back here.
Well, I know, but I don't want to.
You're going to.
Because Kevin will hit me now that I've said something.
Okay.
Right. In a loving Christ-like way.
Thank you, Alice. Yes. Give him another hand. Yeah, he does a great job. Back to the message. So basically the whole idea that John is getting at is it's the relationship with the person of knowing Jesus. And that's why he says that he saw him, he touched him, he experienced him, he knows that Jesus is real, and he's writing this because of that, because of his own personal experience that he had with Jesus. He knows that Jesus is real. And so then he gets to the point where he invites them into the fellowship, as we talked about last week. And the whole idea of the fellowship was that he was inviting them to be a part of the fellowship. And he said, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the fellowship was. So if you're going to fellowship with John, you're going to be fellowshipping with Jesus as well. Because it comes back to, it's all about the person. Christianity's all about Jesus. See, we get so hung up on theology so much, so many times, and there's so many debates out there over small little things that don't even matter because it's all about the person of Jesus, who is still alive even though he was dead. And he's alive right now. And the Apostle Paul tells us that this same person is praying for you right now. He's interceding at the right hand of the Father right now at this very moment. Now, as he concludes that in verse 4, he said, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. So the joy isn't complete. His joy isn't complete unless he's able to involve somebody else in knowing this person. It is impossible to be selfish and follow Jesus. That's one of the hard things, especially when it comes to the idea of trying to have Jesus all to yourself. You can't have Jesus all to yourself. And in fact, if you do have Jesus all to yourself, my guess would be you really haven't found the real Jesus, because the real Jesus motivates you to share it with somebody else. You just can't have Jesus all to yourself. That's why he's saying that we write this, our joy isn't complete until we involve somebody else, because we have a passion and we have a desire for somebody else to know this Jesus that we found. That's how you know you really found the true Jesus, is when you just want to make sure everybody else or the people you come into contact with know who Jesus is. Then he moves to verse 5. Verse 5 is so powerful. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. See, he's been leading up to this. Everything he's been talking about, the person of Jesus, how he touched him, he saw him, he experienced him, he knows him, and he wants you to be part of the fellowship. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message, and we announce this to you. We announce this message to you. So this is what you would say is John's thesis statement. You know what the thesis is, right? The main idea, the main purpose. This is what John is trying to get across. And the first thing he says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. That's the first thing. Now, I'm sure we have some math experts out there today. Can anybody tell me in math, in mathematics, what is actually means? Yes, equals. Man, we got geniuses here. You know, well, we got three people that knew that, or everybody else asleep or awake, or, well, we'll see. But anyway, yeah, it's equals. So God equals light. That's his main message. He wants you to understand. God equals light. It's not that God is part of light or that light is part of God. You see God, you see light. You see light, you see God. Why? Because they're both the same. God is light. God equals light. So then what John does, as he's been doing, as we talked about before, he's been repeating himself. So he repeats himself and he says the same thing, but he says it in a different way. He says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, you may want to throw in the D-U-H response to that. You may want to say, duh. Because if God equals light, it's pretty well obvious that there's no darkness in him, because God equals light. Because when he says equals, that's 100%. That's 100% light. That's what it is. And then he wanted to make sure he drove that home. So he said, and in him, there is no darkness at all. Now, why is this important? This is important because how many times have you heard people put down God? Maybe you yourself have put down God. How many times do you hear somebody say God is a mean God? If God really does exist, he's not a loving God. Why would God let this happen? Why would God let this happen? Why would God let this, all this? And there was history leading up before John wrote this. We have the whole Old Testament with all those questions that everybody brings up about God all the time. If God's love, why would he do this? If God's love, why? And John just wants to make sure this is the message, and we announce to you right now, we want to get this out of the way. This is my main message of the entire letter, is what John's saying. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. Boom. I don't care what you say. I don't care what your experience is. This is what John's saying to him. I don't care what evidence you think you have that this is not true. God is light. That's it. End of story. End of discussion. There is no darkness in him. He cannot do evil. It's just that simple. That's where you get to the whole debate about, are there limitations on God? Are there limitations on God? And the immediate response we usually have to that is, no, there are no limitations on God. I would suggest that, in fact, there are limitations on God. In what way? He can't do evil. James even tells us, God cannot be tempted by anyone, number one. And number two, God does not lie. It's that simple. Why? Because it's his nature. Now, could he if he wanted to? Is he that powerful enough? Is it possible? Maybe it is that if he's so powerful that he could change if he wanted to. But God is, the very nature of who God is keeps him from doing those things. So when he says God is light, there is no darkness in him, you can't put down God. You can't question God's ways. Why? Because whatever God does is pure and true and it is solid, and you can't say that this was God's fault. You can't say God sinned. You can't say God did something wrong. No, God is light. There is no darkness in him. So that's the message. That's what he's trying to get across, to make sure everybody understands this. Then he moves into this verse six thing. When he gets into verses 6 and 7, this is when the readers of his letter were probably at the point of, here he goes. Here he goes again. Because look at what he says. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Seems to me like when John was writing this, he was probably getting reports there were people who were claiming to be walking in the fellowship with Christ, but their behaviors didn't match up with what they said. You see, you can't get away from John talking about behavior. And it's something when it comes to our behavior. Have you ever rationalized a behavior? Anyone? Anyone ever justified a behavior? You know? Usually what happens when you justify a behavior, somebody else is involved in the justification, right? Because it's usually you never want to deal with what you did and why you did it and where you were and why it happened and what took place. It's usually, well, okay, fine. You got me. You got me. You got me. I was bad, okay? But I'm not nearly as bad as... If you want to see somebody bad. And so we normally compare, right? Even if we don't verbalize it, we have a tendency to compare ourselves to others and say, well, I'm a good Christian. I'm not the best, but I'm better than so-and-so. In fact, I just saw what so-and-so did last week. Did you hear what so-and-so did last week? And what they did is much worse than what I did. And I just did this, and I have a reason for mine. And who? Why would they even do such a thing? That makes no sense. Because it all can... Isn't that funny how we just so naturally do that? We thought we grew out of it as kids, but as adults, we continue to just to do it. The whole idea of Christianity. Well, yeah, nobody's perfect. What do you expect? I can't do, but I'm not as bad as... So I'm kind of in between. I'm not perfect, but I'm not horrible. So I'm a decent person. I would say that I'm a kind person. I would say that I try to do right. But John is saying, if you say you have fellowship with Jesus and yet you walk in darkness, you are a liar. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? That's a very convicting statement. And whoever he was mentioning when he was writing this at the time was probably reading this sweating, going, we're liars because we... And then later on, he defines it more as we get further into the epistle. He defines it as you can't hate and have fellowship with Jesus. It's not possible. He says, if you hate your brother, you're still in darkness. You can't. It's not possible. Now, my guess would be that in the year 2020, you haven't seen or noticed any hate, have you? Now, I'm not taking sides. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not going to say one side or this side or multiple sides, but I would say probably all sides are guilty of it. And John is saying, hey, if you hate, you're not following Jesus. It's not possible. Because Jesus is all about love. And what John is really getting at here is the idea of what this means, that if you say you're a Christian, if you say you know Jesus, and yet you're still in darkness, you're lying. Now, he wants to repeat himself again to make sure you understood it. Verse 7, he says this, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So there's something about this idea in verse 7 when he says, if we walk. And the idea of walking, of course, he's not just referring to walking. That's not just the idea of what we do every day when we get up and we walk to our car and get out and come in. Like this morning, you get out of your car and you walk into church. He's not talking about just how you walk, right? He's not saying there's a Christian way to walk and you need to walk this way. That isn't what he's doing. Walk in the Greek text points to all of your behavior. So it points to all that you do. If we walk in darkness, if our behavior is in darkness, and we say we know Jesus, we're lying. But if we walk in the light, and notice how he throws this in. He goes right back to the person again. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then, and only then, do we have true fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then, of course, he goes in later on, and there's so much theological debate about this. He moves into verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And so the whole idea he's getting at there, he's pointing to the idea that all of us are in need of a Savior. We can't do this on our own. But the idea that he's getting at here is, it's not just a matter of just saying that you're following Jesus. Because you can say whatever, right? Right? It's easy, isn't it? You can say anything. I mean, how many of you as kids, and maybe even as adults, how many of you have ever said, I didn't do that? When the truth was, you actually did, right? We have that tendency, right? Well, so we can say whatever. We can talk out of anything. We can make things up. We can say, "What? Are you a Christian?" "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." "Do you serve Jesus?" "Oh yeah, yeah, I serve Jesus." Yeah. It's kind of like when I was in sales, and not all salespeople are like this, but I know when I worked in sales, I worked with people who had a tendency. They would become whoever came in. They would have the same interests or whatever. You know, The whole idea of, you work there? Oh, yeah, somehow they always have a relative that works where they work. And yeah, so-and-so, do you know so-and-so? I don't place the name right now. Well, I think that they're really nice people. That's a good place to work. And then, of course, they don't know that. And then you may even come around and go, really? Because I hate it. Oh, well, then maybe it's because the whole idea, what are they doing? Anybody can say anything. Has anybody ever made a promise to you that they didn't keep? And not just did they not keep it, but they forgot about it. Or at least they never brought it up again. Hey, call me. I'll make sure we blah, 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 da, da, and this and this and this. Yep, I'll do it. Yep, call me. And you call them and call them and call them, and there's never an answer and it doesn't happen. And so people, you can say whatever you want. See, saying you're a believer in Christ, saying you're a Christian, saying you're a follower of Jesus, that's nothing. Anybody can say that. But to walk in the light as he is in the light, because you recognize that you have sin, and you recognize the only way that you can live without sin is him, and that there's something about my behavior needs to be what Christ desires it to be. That it isn't just I claim it, I say that I am, but it's actually, hey, I want my life, I want my behavior, I want everything I do and say to be pleasing to him. See, I would go as far as to say, I would suggest that at the very least, every professing believer of Christ, if you truly believe in Jesus and you're truly a follower of Jesus, every single professing believer should at the very least have a desire that all of their behavior is pleasing to him. At the very least, have the desire. You may look at it and say, I can't do it. You may look at it and say, I'm not perfect. You may look and say all that, and that's fine. But at the very least, there should be a desire that I want my life to be pleasing to him. I want what I do to be pleasing to him. I want what I say to be pleasing to him. I don't just want to just say I'm a believer so that I can get to heaven. I want to be in the light, because otherwise I'm lying. So there's this connection of what I do to what I say, and that it's a big deal to say I'm a follower of Jesus, because that means my behavior, at the very least, I should have a desire that it's pleasing to him. Because what happens? What's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is, yeah, I'm a Christian. Behavior really doesn't matter. I mean, at times it's good, and at times it matches up, and at times it's pleasing to God. But nobody's perfect. Nobody can do it all the time. And then I'll just kind of relax my way into heaven. I'll just kind of relax, and everything's good. He's got me covered. All my sins are forgiven. No big deal. And I'm just going to coast right on in to heaven. You see, there's something about what John is getting at here. You see, when you actually know the person of Jesus, you want to please him. And you have a desire that your life is pleasing to him. So much to the point that if any part of your behavior doesn't match up with him, it doesn't feel right. It should make you convicted. There should be a part of you that, I shouldn't have said that, or oh, I shouldn't have done that, or God, please help me. I want to change. I want to be what you want me to be. And John's writing this, and he's not writing this as a relaxed person saying, I'm just coasting my way into heaven. He's writing this saying, this is the answer of being in the light while Jesus is there, and Jesus is the one who empowers you to live the way he desires you to live. Foundations of our faith. So why is this important? You know, we have this series this month because it's something to refocus us as individuals and as a congregation, to refocus us on what Christianity is, what following Jesus really means, because it's so easy for us to be distracted, and 2020 has been a very distracting year. But I think this is important because if there was ever a time, and I'm sure there have been times before now, but if there was ever a time that Christianity and those who profess it, if there was ever a time their behavior should match up with what they say, it's now. Because one of the things that just irritates the world and our culture is hypocrisy. Saying one thing and doing another. You've heard them. Come on, you've heard people say, I'm not going to serve Jesus. Why? Because no one's really a Christian. I saw them all. No, and I get it, you know, the whole point. Well, everybody, that's not an excuse on their part. They shouldn't use that excuse. That's fine. Yeah, absolutely. They shouldn't use that as an excuse. You've heard it before. I'm sure you've heard it before where they say, if you ever find the perfect church, make sure you don't join it. Right? You know the ending to that, right? Because it'll be imperfect as soon as you join it. You've heard the whole thing about, you know, the church is full of hypocrites and all of that. There's this whole element of, nobody should use that as an excuse and say, I'm not serving Jesus because they said they served Jesus and they did that and I'm not going to do it. That doesn't make any sense, right? We understand that. Nobody should use that as an excuse. But at the same time, that should not be the reason for us to just say, well, then we'll just do whatever we want, live any way we want, because it doesn't matter. And one of the things that people are longing for right now is something real and something true. And they're longing for those that say they follow Jesus to actually live and act like they follow Jesus. And they're longing for the love. That's why in my mind, you know, I'm getting to the point, you know, I'm a political junkie and I have my opinions and I have my own personal opinions and the way I think things should go. And when I'm elected king someday, I'll make sure everything goes that direction. By the way, I didn't announce this publicly, but I will today on the live stream. I'm jumping in the race now. If you want my, just put my vote. I'm a campaign and everything. I hired a campaign manager. She works in the office. She's going to take care of all that. Business manager is going to be my press secretary. Mike's going to answer all my questions for me. You know, it's all going to be taken care of, right? So I'm jumping in. Alan. You'll be the publicist. Thank you, Alan. Okay, we have a, see, we got this whole thing going on. I'm jumping in, you know, this is going to be incredible. So I have my political ideas and all this, but one of the things that I'm getting, that I'm realizing, there's a lot of things in our culture right now that I personally feel like, man, I hope it doesn't go this direction because I'm afraid it's going to be bad. And I hope it doesn't go this direction because I'm afraid it's going to be bad. I'm not going to tell you what that is because I don't think it's my job to give you my personal opinion. I don't think God wants me to stand up here and give you my personal opinion. You don't want to know what Chad thinks, believe me. But I think I'm getting to the point now where I don't care what side you're on. I just hope you find Jesus. I don't care what you believe, what your background is, what you're supporting, what you're not supporting. I'm at the point now, I don't care because I just want you to know who Jesus is. And I hope that my life is, that it's not just what I say, but I hope that when you look at my life, it shows that you should want him too. That should at least be our desire as followers of Jesus, that we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have a desire to live a life that is pleasing to him. John is basically saying, if that is not your desire, and he wonders why you're even using the term Christian. He wonders why you're even saying you're a follower of Jesus, because he said you're just claiming it and you're doing something different. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for who you are and for everything you mean to us. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us enough to give us your word even when it's not comfortable. To give us your truth, even when it's difficult for us to grasp or understand. But you're reminding us again, Jesus, that this isn't just about us worshiping you or praising you. This isn't just about us praying to you or reading our Bible or doing devotions or coming to church or doing what we're supposed to be doing. But this is something about when we claim you, we're making a strong claim. When we say we know you, it's a strong claim. And at the very, very least, Anyone who claims you should have a desire that, Lord, I want my life to be pleasing to you. Lord, I want everything I do and say to be pleasing to you. Lord, I want what everything that I say to my neighbors to be pleasing to you. Everything I say in the workplace to be pleasing to you. Everything I say to my spouse, everything I say to my kids, every attitude I have, everything I exhibit, everything, Jesus, I want it all to be pleasing to you, because that's really what this is all about. And I just want to be what you want me to be, God. And Lord, in this moment, I just have to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for all the times my attitude hasn't been what you wanted it to be. Forgive me, Jesus, even this week, for every word that came out of my mouth that isn't what you desired or what you wanted. Forgive me, Jesus, for anything that I've ever done that is outside of what you wanted me to be, because, Jesus, I don't want it, as John says, I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be somebody that says one thing and does another. I want my life to be what you want it to be. I don't want to make any excuses. I don't want to make any justifications. I don't want to compare myself to anybody else. I just want to be what you want me to be, Jesus. Show me how to do that, Jesus, because I can't. I can't do it on my own. Show all of us how to do that, Jesus, because we can't. We can't do this on our own. We can't live this life on our own. Doesn't matter what year it is or what season it is or how bad the culture is ever, how good it is, how bad it is. We can't do this. We got to be in the light with you. We got to walk in the light where you are so that we can have fellowship. And we must have a desire to live a life pleasing to you. So right now, Jesus, in this moment, if all of us, Jesus, as the psalmist said, would just say, Lord, search our hearts and search our souls. And Lord, see if there be any wicked way. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. None of us are above that prayer today, Jesus. None of us have arrived to the point where we can't say that. All of us are at a point where we say, Jesus, please show me. Show me what needs to be changed. Show me what needs to be fixed. Show me how I can be what you want and desire me to be. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?